Welcome to the talk show dedicated to the wine industry. It's All About Wine. With your host, winemaker, cellar master, vineyardist, and tasting expert, Ron, Vice President and General Manager of Florida State's Winery in Land O'Lakes, Florida. Call our guest line at any time during the live show at area code 646-727-3235.
Basically, what we're trying to do on this program is educate people and make wine less confusing and more friendly.
Broadcasting on blogtalkradio.com and worldwide, including the Armed Forces Radio Network.
How this show has grown from, you know, maybe a couple hundred to over 40,000 people. And yeah. That's fantastic.
From coast to coast.
Basser, Kansas.
Deming, New Mexico.
Ithaca, New York.
Knoxville.
Lancaster County, Pennsylvania.
Lexington, Kentucky.
Montana.
Moscow, Idaho.
New Hampshire.
New Mexico.
Santa Rosa.
Sevierville, Tennessee.
South Dakota.
The coast of Maine.
The Commonwealth of Pennsylvania.
Westport, Mass.
You know, we really have had some neat people on the program. I love that. Alba Vineyards.
Blog.10Live.
Boyslip Winery.
Brotherhood.
Camas Prairie Winery.
Candia Vineyards.
Hello, the Borgeses.
Eagle Springs Winery.
Flathead Lake Winery.
Free the Grapes.
Grapesandwine.cal.cornell.edu.
Heritage Vineyards and Winery.
Hershey Harrisburg Wine Country.
Holyfield Vineyard and Winery.
Hummingbird Ridge Winery.
Joy Soy of Wine.
Prairie Berry.
Rainborn Wines.
Rocky Top Wine Trail.
Sheila Lauer Vineyards and Winery.
Southwest Wine.
Haber Hill.
Ten Spoon.
University of Kentucky Extension.
Vineyard at Hershey.
Vibach Winery.
Walt Vineyard.
Westport Rivers.
Wine Flower.
And around the world.
TheDriftingWinemaker.com.
I just arrived in Bali about 3 days ago.
All About Wine is on.
If you have any questions or anything to talk about, we will be more than happy to talk to you about or search it for you or try to find information for you out there, because there is a lot of information out there about wine.
We do occasionally get off topic.
Belvoir Winery.
The most well-known haunted winery in the Midwest.
I've heard voices at the winery.
Call area code 646-727-3235 and let's talk about wine on air. And now, wine enthusiasts and industry representatives, All About Wine is on. Here is your host, Ron.
Thank you, Buzz.
Oh, yeah. Gorgeous
weather here. They're happy about that.
Yep. They're staying warm outside. It is 59 year. And you're further north than I am, so you're probably in the low 20s. I forgot.
That's 24, 25. Yeah.
Over there. Yeah. It changes that dramatically here in Florida, so that's amazing. What time is it? Okay. Well, welcome to the show. If you'd like to get on the listener line, the guest line, do so right now. It's area code 646-727-3235. And... that is a toll-free call if you're in the 646 area code. So call us. And you can call us from any place else as well. So connect with us, and we will, I guess I'll go out of here in just a minute and get our special guest that we have tonight and see how we can connect there. So all the way from Australia, I don't know if I just let the cat out of the bag, but if you've been on our Facebook page, you know that already. So go ahead.
And if you want to get in touch with us through Skype, too, you can do that. You can always, if you have a Skype number, you can always contact us through Skype. So that's another possibility for you. And you can also, Mike tweets throughout the program. You can always respond to his tweets. And there's all sorts of ways to get in touch with us. So if you have any question or anything for our guests, hey, you can contact us. So that's not a problem. Mike is out getting our guest right now. Our guest... And if you follow us on our webpage or through tweets or something, our guest is Sonia Jigoli. She is from Queensland, Australia. She has been a winemaker. She's been working in the wine industry for quite some time. Right now, she is working in sustainable viticulture, a great field. She just recently got... grant or something. I will have to ask her what it was that she actually got. But she just recently got thing to work in sustainable viticulture in Australia. They, in 2 days in Australia, they are starting their summer. If you are north of the equator, like we are and everyone else in the United States, we are starting our winter in on Saturday on the 21st. But in Australia, since they are southeast equator, they will be starting their well, that's odd. I was looking at the phone numbers here, and Mike's got a real odd phone number. If you're south of the equator, first day of summer is coming up here, and it's always strange. For years and years, as I was growing up, my mother was a pen pal with a lady from Australia, and I grew up with getting stuff from Australia on birthdays and different holidays and on Christmas and all that. They would send us Christmas gifts, and we would send them Christmas gifts, and we would get all sorts of stuff. I remember getting a lot of little different things from Australia. One of the neatest ones I ever got was a tanned hide of a kangaroo. It wasn't really a kangaroo. I think it was a something else. Alf, we are ready to go. Sonia's on the line, and let's bring her on to the show. And welcome, Sonia, to All About Wine. Glad you can join us.
G'day, Ron. How are you?
I'm doing great. And yourself?
Excellent.
Fantastic. It is what, 10 o'clock in the morning there in Australia?
It sure is. The sun's shining. It's a lovely summer's day.
Well, actually, spring. I was just telling the listeners right before you came on that summer starts in 2 days. So it is just a spring day.
Summer starts on the 1st of December here in Queensland or here in Australia.
Oh, really?
It does. So you're a month behind there, Ron.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Well, actually, we go, the winter solstice is December 21st here. So our 22nd, actually, our 21st, actually, first day of winter is 21st. So we don't start our winter, which I thought was the opposite for your summer there. So, wow, you actually, December 1st. Wow. I didn't know that.
Yeah, we go by the calendar month rather than solstice.
Ah. I just introduced you that you are into sustainable viticulture and that you've have done some winemaking and you've been involved with the wine industry for quite some time.
Yes, well, a few years, maybe five. So not that long, really. But I'm based in Queensland, and it's a very, very small production area in comparison to the rest of Australia. So I'm quite involved with it here.
Let's go through history of you. How did you get started in the wine industry, and what have you done up to this point? And then start telling us about your sustainable viticulture venture that you're into now heavily.
Okay, well, it all started a few years ago. I'll rephrase. It started when I was a child and I was introduced to a lot of backyard wines, Italian wines, down in Wollongong, which is on just south of Sydney on the east coast of Australia. And the backyard wines weren't all that crash hot, and I was a child at the time. But I remember saying to Dad, when I grow up, I'm going to make proper wine. And as it turned out, I had the opportunity to change careers about 5 years back, and just did a Google search on organic wineries in Queensland, knowing nothing about them, and there was one 10 kilometres from my home. So I pursued a job there with all I had. I harassed them intensely until 6 months later they said, okay, you can start in the cellar door, learn all about the wines that we make, learn about Queensland wines, and once you've proved yourself for 6 months, then we'll teach you to make wine. So 6 months to the date, I was asked to join the team downstairs in the winery, and off I went. So that was it.
Very good.
Yeah, it was amazing. It was a great introduction. I've already been to uni, so I didn't feel I had the desire to study anymore. So it was mostly on the job training. But fortunately, here in Queensland, we have the Queensland College of Wine Tourism in Stanthorpe on the Granite Belt. And so I was able to do a few courses there and build my knowledge. So I worked for Warrego Wines for quite a few years as an assistant winemaker until Queensland was hit very heavily with the floods in 2011.
Oh.
My place went under, so the winery closed, unfortunately. So what I did then was move to the closest, largest wine region in Queensland, which is about 3 hours southwest of where I had my initial training. And I'm here now on the Granite Belt in Queensland on the Great Dividing Range. And I'm working on sustainable viticulture. So right now I've been given a grant by the Grape and Wine Research Development Corporation, a body that all winemakers and grape growers pay a levy to. And what I'm doing is establishing ground covers in vineyards. So these are native ground covers. It's a 3-year trial. So we're going to be taking lots of measurements to see how the ground covers affect things such as water retention, microbial activity in soil, nutrient uptake in vines. There's a lot of things that we think that it will affect in a very positive way.
Wow, fascinating. You, a couple of things back. What part of Queensland are you in? You keep saying the Mineral Coast, but where? What
okay.
is that?
Well, Queensland's in the top right eastern part of Australia, and it's a large state, and we have a coastal strip, a peninsula very similar to Florida in the tourism field. Just less of that, we have the Great Dividing Range. I'm up on the Great Dividing Range, which is about 1,000 metres above sea level. It's, 3,000 feet
yeah.
above sea level?
Approximately.
So we get below zero temperatures here in winter.
Wow.
And lovely hot temperatures in summer. So it's on the Queensland and New South Wales border, which is in the most southern part of the Great Dividing Range.
Oh, okay. So I'm looking at a map right here of commonly designated regions of Queensland. So you're in Darling Downs or Southwest or?
The Southern Darling Downs.
Okay. So you're just east of Brisbane.
Yeah, southeast of Brisbane, takes about 2.5 to 3 hours drive.
To Brisbane. Okay.
To Brisbane, yeah.
That puts, I know, I see where you are now. I'm trying to picture where you were here. I kind of picture where you are. Okay, so you're at high elevation there, so you get some pretty extreme weather. So the grapes
do.
In that area. Oh, what,
we do get
what,
extreme. Sorry?
You say you get down real cold. Does that include snow, or do you get much snow at all there?
We have had snow. I think the last snowfall was 12 years ago. I may be wrong, here in Stanthorpe. I experienced some sleet this winter.
Wow.
But not quite snow. We have frosts which are well below zero. Our frosts can tend to occur in springtime, so that's after bud burst. So our vines can be damaged by late frost. We have summer rains here. So we have just had a couple of hail events over the past week or so, which has damaged quite a few vineyards in the region. So adverse weather is a very tricky one for us.
It is. You get thunderstorms there?
Absolutely. We get mostly afternoon thunderstorms, and they're ferocious.
Oh, so the lightning and thunder and the whole bit, just like we get here then, huh?
Yeah, exactly.
No. I did, you know, because some areas don't. I mean, you know, but I suppose if you're with the altitude there and the mountains, it will create storms. Is your weather pattern coming from the west or from the east?
It comes from predominantly from the southwest, but we can get it from anyway. Because we're up on the Great Dividing Range, it just depends on where the storms, if there's, for example, if there's cyclones in the north, then we'll get some after effect, usually heavy rain from that, from the northeast. We're sort of on that fringe of the middle of storm events, so they can come from any way.
Uh-huh. So now this has to be a major problem with trying to grow a lot of certain types of grapes in that area then. I mean, if you're having, you know, early frost or late frost and stuff like that, it's going to require to have some pretty cold hardy grapes as opposed to some that would kill it in the frost and that cold weather. I mean, you know, I'm thinking.
This is true, although Queensland itself, there's other regions within Queensland that don't have frost or have minimal frost and have hotter, drier weather or hotter, wetter weather. We have our rainfall through the wine regions within Queensland varies from 500 millimetres per year to 1,500 millimetres per year. I haven't done the maths on the conversion to inches, but that's a great variation in rainfall. So we are fortunate in Queensland because we can grow an extremely diverse range. A lot of the grapes, we can grow all your classic examples of Chardonnay, Shiraz, Merlot, Pinot Noir, and then we go into the alternative varieties, Nevedra, Barbera, Sangiovese, the Italian varieties as well, Vermentino. We can grow such a great diverse range of grapes here.
Wow. Huh.
It's impressive. We actually have a tourism trail called the Strange Bird Wine Trail, and that's here on the Granite Belt. And it's a map of vineyards or wineries that grow different or alternative varieties. And we have over 20 of those here. So people can come up here and taste things that they just can't find in other parts of the world in a central place. It's amazing.
Yeah, it surprises me that you can grow that many varieties. Oh, by the way, your 1,500 millimeter of rainfall is about 60 inches in conversion. So that's quite a bit. That's a lot of rain. Yeah. So Do you get this rain spread out throughout the year, or do you have your rainy season, like right now? Or do you get it during the winter?
It's predominantly summer rainfall, and it goes into early autumn. So autumn starts the 1st of March. So, of course, it's around grape picking time.
Yeah. Well, you know, that would be the problem, too. If you start getting those rains right then, that seemed like it would, I don't know.
Issues.
Yeah.
The rain.
Because that's one of the things that we try to avoid here. I mean, whenever we start getting a lot of rains anywhere in this country right before harvest, it creates all sorts of problems. So
it does.
Yeah.
It does. So we're a tough lot here to be able to negotiate around all of these climatic challenges. So
yeah.
I was thinking last night about the people that make wine or the people that grow grapes here, and we draw off lots of different cultures, a lot of and a lot of different methods. There is no, because we're not growing just one variety of grape. People from vineyard to vineyard, everybody does it a little bit differently. But there is a collaboration, so people do get together. They do have vineyard walks and talks, and we work out what works best or what's worked best for other people in the region. So we need to have a great amount of knowledge here to grow grapes successfully here.
The soil there, then, so what your soil and throughout that there, well, I suppose the granite belt, what's your soil type there?
It's decomposed granite soil, so it's sandy. Wow. And relatively free draining. It's sandy and relatively free draining, decomposed granite soil predominantly.
So with all the rains, I mean, that helps a lot, though, because it's going to flow it right through.
It does. But it does leach out nutrients as well. I don't think we'll ever suffer from any type of root rot here, but whether or not... We have minimal organic matter within our soils, which is something that I'd like to see change. And when it is dry, it can be dry after bud burst. And when it is dry, the little amount of rain that we do get for that initial period of growth in the vines, we want to be able to retain that in the soil and not allow it to run drain free. So the cover crops that I'm looking at will assist in keeping soil moisture when it's needed. And it will mitigate the flooding rains if they occur as well. So there's a lot to think about with these vines here.
Yeah, so you're looking at a cover between it to actually help retain the minerals, but yet enough so that if it floods, it's going to soak through it. Wow, you got a task in front of you here.
Exactly. Now, fortunately, the trial has been run in South Australia in our largest grape-growing region, and it was a success. So we're mirroring that trial with three species that they recommend, three native Australian ground cover species that they recommend. So it's not all so difficult. We're just seeing whether or not it works in the different rainfall areas of Queensland. I'm positive that it's going to help.
What type of trellising do they do there? Is it is it all hand picked, or do they do machine picked, or what is the standard type, or is it all types?
Predominantly on the granite belt, it's hand-picked. We have a large backpacker labour force here because we have stone fruit and apples and capsicums and lettuce and tomatoes. It's a large agricultural area, which was founded by the Italians many, many years ago. So we have a lot of backpackers come through this area. So we have a good labour force, and we utilise these people to assist picking the grapes and pruning, etc. In the South Burnett, which is about a 5-hour drive north, they have large single-owned vineyards. So I think the largest one is about 450 hectares. So there is some machine harvesting in other regions, but here on the Granite Belt, not so much.
Yeah, I looked up your Granite Belt wine country while we were talking here. Interesting. There's some great things. If any of you listeners out there, check it out. It's granitebeltwinecountry.com.au. I just searched Granite Belt Wine Country and it popped it right up. There's all sorts of things to it, but a lot of interesting information there. It also lists all the wines. I mean, unbelievable the number of grapes that you can grow in that region. It's just, I think most people think of Australian wines as down south, along the southern areas and across the southern tiers. But you're starting to step up further north, and there's a lot of varieties you guys are growing there.
We sure are. I was doing a bit of research too, and Queensland only grows about 1 cent of Australia's grapes, wine grapes. So we're very, very small, but we pack a punch. Most of our wines have a sales point of around Australian $20 Australian, which is about almost $18 US. So that's where a bottle sits with us. And I guess it comes back to the fact that we are doing it by hand. And we have so many premium wines here. I'm not sure if you've heard of James Halliday. He's a wine critic in Australia.
No, haven't.
He gives out ratings on wines, and we're fortunate, although we've got about, I think there's about 35, 40 wineries here, we have five which are classed as five-star wineries.
Wow.
So the quality of grapes, the quality of wine that's coming from this region is exceptional. And when I look at the names, I've got some names of the wineries that do have their five-star rating this year, 2014, actually. Siramay, Witches Falls, Boireanne, Symphony Hill Wines, and Golden Grove Estate. When I look at those wineries, I know that they make such a huge variety of wines, from Jerif to Barbera or Nebbiolo, Shiraz, Gewurz Traminer. Yeah, we just make so much. It's great.
Well, this list there says some of the varieties produced in this region, and it just goes on. It says these Barbera, Chenin Blanc, Colombard, Jerif. I guess I pronounced that right. Jerif. I'm not familiar with that grape. Gewurz Traminer, Malbec, Marsan, Malverde, Nebbiolo, Petit Verdot, Pinot Gris, Sylvaner, Tempranillo, Guignet. I mean, it's just a tremendous amount of variety. One thing I noticed that was missing in that list, though, was a Cabernet Sauvignon and or a Merlot. Why are those not in that list?
I haven't looked at the website today, but I expect that you're looking at the alternative varieties.
Yes.
So alternative varieties are not mainstream varieties that are grown across Australia. Alternative varieties are those varieties that have a very small holding within Australia as a whole. Australia's main varieties are Shiraz, Cabernet Sauvignon, and Chardonnay.
Okay.
The alternative varieties are those that you can't quite find everywhere in Australia.
I see. So this is under the Vino Diversity page too. So obviously that is the ones that aren't the mainstream. So
yeah.
Oh, okay. And here's the Rider Wine Index. Boy, there's a lot of stuff on this page. They have quite an extensive page here. Yeah, there it is. Well, they listed the main ones. The guy writes on this one article here, I have excluded Cabernet Sauvignon, Chardonnay, Merlot, Pinot Noir, Riesling, Sauvignon Blanc, Semillon, and Syrahs from discussion because those are mainstream, and if you want to talk about them, there's lots of stuff elsewhere. So, yeah, okay. So that makes sense. That's why I was not seeing them. But, it amazes me, though. It still amazes me the number of wines. And, you know, you're saying you're producing 1% of the wines from Australia, and yet such a diversity of grapes coming out of there. It's just amazes me. I don't, you know.
I was looking also that Australia produces about 140 or grows about 149,000 hectares of grapes per year. California alone does 194,000 hectares. It just puts it into perspective, and we're only 1% of that.
Yeah. So you would be like a small vineyard in California.
Absolutely. The whole of Queensland would be like a small vineyard. I know vineyards that are only 2 hectares. And that's it in total. We are a boutique winery region, so therefore we have the luxury of working our processes so that we're making quality wine. So it's not like a production line here. It's some friends of mine, some winemaker friends of mine, have been dabbling with amphora, using the old clay urns that the Italians did many years ago. So the winemaking styles, there's enough room here for experimentation. The winemaking styles, that people can use wild yeast or barrel ferment. We try as much as possible to bring out the best in our grapes here.
It sounds like this is quite a diversified area with 35 to 40 wineries in that area too. You know, they're all, I don't know. It's just with that many wineries and that small of a percentage of wines you're making in the area and the number of grapes, it seems like everybody's just spending all their time making small batches of everything.
That's right. When we look at the South Burnett, which is about a 5-hour drive north of here, the South Burnett has different soil. They've got sandy loam soil. It's higher in pH usually than here, and they have one of the largest single vineyards in Queensland, and it's 450 hectares. So they have a cellar door on site in the South Burnett, which is a rather rural region of Queensland. But they also have a major corporate cellar door in Brisbane as well, so that they can display their wines more readily to tourists and to the public. It's a beautiful setup in Red Hill. For Cloverly Estate, and they run a lot of functions and corporate functions as well. So, yes, the Granite Belt has very many small wineries, but Cloverly Estate Queensland isn't just based on small wineries. We also have Siramay, which is out at Mount Cotton, which is just southwest of Brisbane, maybe a 20-kilometre drive southwest of, a 20-minute drive southwest of Brisbane. And they have a massive winery there. I don't have the figures on it, but they have a very beautiful restaurant and they host large music events and wine events there. They're situated where the crowds are, pretty much. If people want to come to the Granite Belt and taste wine, they can either use a winery tour company or it's a self-drive experience.
When is your bud break in that area?
When's
bud break? Yeah, the bud break on the grapes. What time of year? When?
Spring.
Around what month?
We're looking at September. September.
That's not spring, yeah. That's fall. Oh.
Okay. Yeah, the 1st of September is classed as spring here. So bud burst is around then. If we have warmer temperatures earlier, it's slightly earlier. And then, of course, we run the risk of having a drop in temperature and a late spring frost. We're looking across the board in Queensland this year, or for next vintage, the 2014 vintage, we're looking at picking of the white grapes to begin in the first to second week of January, which is extremely early.
It sounds like it would be. I mean, if you're getting bud break in September and picking in January, 1st of January.
Yeah, bud burst can start September. It might be early, late, or even October, but yes, it's around there. With all the varieties that we grow and the different microclimates that they're grown in, it varies quite a bit. But I think most people are looking at an earlier vintage in January next year.
Yeah, well, yeah. This season, you can say this season, yeah.
Yeah, that's right. We have a very hard-working, member-funded committee, the Queensland Wine Industry Association, and their website is www.queenslandwine.com.au, and they have a lot of information regarding the regions, news and events, awards awarded to the wineries up here and the wines up here. So that's a great source of reference. They also have
the website, www.queenslandwine.com.au.
They're the overseeing body who provide information to all the members regarding the innovation in the wine industry and what help's available. They're a great group of people that work very hard to keep the high standard of the Queensland wine industry, maintain that high standard. Yeah.
The government, does the government help any, or is this, the United States government has a board called the TTB, which is the Tobacco and Trade Bureau, which controls wine and has rules and regulations, pages and pages and pages, they're somewhat friendly, but then the state governments can either battle you or help you. What is it like in Australia down there? Is there a federal government?
I was hoping you wouldn't ask. there's a transition happening at the moment with our national wine board. as far as Queensland is concerned, we have the Granite Belt, the Queensland Wine and Tourism College here on the Granite Belt. It was funded by the government a few years back, but my understanding is that there's little funding for wine here in Queensland at the moment. So therefore, the bodies such as the Queensland Wine Industry Association, which is member-funded, or the Granite Belt Wine Country, which again is member-funded, they have to work extra hard to market our product and to assist with innovation and research. The grant that I've received is member funded as well. It's based on levies that all members pay across Australia. So it's the Grape and Wine Research Development Corporation. So I guess in Queensland, the best thing for the Queensland wine industry is if more Queenslanders drank Queensland wine.
Uh-huh.
That would, yeah, or more people across the world drank Queensland wine.
I've never seen Queensland wine, I don't believe. I may have and not realize it, but...
I had a look also at how we were marketed, or Australian wine, how Australian wine was marketed in the US. And last year, one of the websites stated that Australian wines were showcased to 10,000 Americans in different events. There was a Riesling event in New York, etc. And so people are being shown Australian wines, but I'm not sure that we're shown Queensland wine specifically.
Yeah, I hate to say this, but you know, if I think of Australian wines, I don't particularly think of Queensland. I think of everywhere else, but Queensland. I'm afraid that might be, if people think of where they're coming. Most people, I'm afraid to say, and it's probably true, most people in this country don't really distinguish between Queensland and New South Wales and anything else. They just say Australia, and that encompasses everything. So you can, really, we're Americans. And so, but we don't really distinguish too much. I think more of the distinction comes within this country with California wines and stuff like that, Napa, and, and people, if they are going to look at distinctions, they're looking at that. But when it comes to Australian wines, and it's not just because it's Australia, I think it's because of any other country, be it Australia or Chile or Africa or anything, or even France. This wine is from France as opposed to this wine is from Bordeaux. Or this wine is from Australia as opposed to this wine is from, Queensland or something. And I think that's just the way people look at it here. I just think that's the mindset. And I may be wrong, and I hope I am, really. But I do believe that that's how we approach wines here in this country.
I tend to agree with you. People do not differentiate regions. We, about 8 years ago, we decided to work out the geographical indications, which are predominantly regions of Australia, which is roughly based on the Appalachian system of Europe. So we have, in Queensland, we've got two geographical indications, but there's not many restrictions, and I guess it's not marketed so much. The prime restriction is that 85% within that bottle of wine must come from that geographical indication if it's going to be labelled, if it's going to be listed on the bottle. I would hope to see more of that occur and be known as a region or even a state rather than just Australia, because we vary so much. Australia is almost the size of America.
Yeah.
We're not a small country as such. So, yes, I would like marketing to go along that line where you can purchase a Queensland wine if you so desire and know that it's from Queensland and be aware of the differences.
And you know, I think that really is a great idea. We have, you know, you're talking about the European designations and all that. We have designations like that here in the United States. We call them AVAs, or American Viticultural Areas. And mm-hmm. an AVA has to be, certain rules, has to be, you know, at least 85 acres, and it has to be approved by the government to be unique and distinct for grape growing. Napa being an AVA, and Sonoma, Livermore, these are all California. Finger Lakes area in New York is an AVA. But, yeah. You know, Australia having something like that would be great, and it would be great to start getting the name out there, because then you can start promoting it. But along the same line with this AVA, and I want to make this point, and I've made it before. I teach classes and stuff. People don't know what AVAs are. Yeah. You know, it's a continuous education, not just to say, okay, this is a Queensland wine, but this is made with Queensland grapes, and this is something that's not just from Australia as a big old continent, but from this area here, and this is our uniqueness. And this is something that needs to be promoted with it, too.
I agree wholeheartedly. Yes, it's come up in conversation.
Yeah.
Often. But I guess that comes back down to your local tourism organisation for that specific region. Is it their job to go out and promote the region to the rest of the world, not just within the state? So it's a hard one. When I first started making wine, I didn't even realise there was a 400 tonne per annum vineyard, organic, certified organic vineyard, 10 kilometres from my house. I had to Google it to find it. So that just shows how little awareness there is out there. Unless you are searching for the details, it's very difficult to find them.
Are you going organic? Is that really what you are going to do now, is go organic? In one of the emails we exchanged, and I have to point this out to people, you said, yes, you're a greenie. Are you going organic? Is this your ultimate goal, to get organic vineyards going? Or is that just sort of like, yeah, if I can do it, great, but my main purpose is this?
Because of the extreme range of weather conditions here on the Granite Belt in particular, I would not recommend that people try to attain organic status for their vineyards. I would say utilize organic and sustainable methods to increase the health of their vineyards, but for sure use a non-organic fungal spray if they require, but not excessive. Some people don't understand the damage that the chemical cocktail does to their soils and their vines and their grapes and themselves and the waterways. So yeah. I guess building an awareness of what you can do more naturally to increase the health of your vineyard. And, of course, if your vines are strong, then they resist disease and pest infestation much more easily. I wouldn't really suggest a single mindset of organic certification. I would suggest using as many natural methods and sustainable methods to increase the health of the vineyard as a whole.
Yeah, good. Yeah. Well, you know, organic is tough to achieve. I don't know what the ruling party is down there and how it works, but here it's quite a process to actually be certified organic for a vineyard. And I'm sure it's just as difficult down there. So it's a lot of work, mm-hmm. It's a lot of effort, and a lot of money. And that money can't be just absorbed by the vineyard itself. It's got to be passed on in the sale of the wine.
Exactly. It is a very drawn-out process. It can take up to 3 years to attain organic certification. And then, of course, you're audited every year to maintain that certification. Is it worthwhile? I'm not sure. I'm not sure that organic wines sell at a higher price point or more than non-organic wines. I guess, again, I would recommend that people do use as many green methods to produce the best quality grapes that their vineyard can, and tell their story about that rather than gaining an organic certification. The costs, too, are quite heavy here in Australia. My partner is making compost, large quantities of compost, 300-odd ton per annum, using the waste products, the mark of the grape, the seeds and the skins and the stems of the grape as one of the ingredients. So we've looked at attaining organic status for that, but it's just not worth it for us at the moment, considering... I guess it would be an economy of scale. So if we made larger quantities than that, we would gain that certification, but we won't. But we will make sure that everything that goes into the compost would pass the certification if it was tested.
You would be at the mercy of... Excuse me. You would be at the mercy of the growers, though. I mean, when you're doing that, so, you know, you would almost have to get it from organic vineyards.
No, not necessarily. Our grapes have a withholding period from the use of chemical sprays to the time that they're picked. Now, we're using grapes only. We're not using the vine that may have retained chemicals or the soil, which definitely retains chemicals. We're just using grapes, so they come to us fairly clean, and using the composting process, it's quite clean, and it's only a 35 to 40% ingredient for the whole lot of the compost. We're also using wood chips from my partner's a forester, so we're using wood chip forests that he's working in, and we collect spent coffee grounds is our key ingredient. It's the catalyst for the composting process. So lots of people drink coffee here, being such a cold climate. So we're on a weekly collection route to get all this, gather all this these coffee grounds and make our compost.
So
we're quite happy.
What's the ultimate goal with all this composting?
To place it under vine, to increase the health of the vine, to minimize the maintenance cost to, or the herbicide use as well, for the weeds that grow under vine. We want to assist people to use less herbicide, pesticide, fungicide in their vineyards. That's the ultimate goal of ours, is to make the vineyards healthier.
Uh-huh. Okay. Wow.
It also,
so,
of course...
Go on.
It also, of course, with compost, it helps retain moisture and helps increase microbial activity, and the microbes are the ones that are releasing the nutrients from our granite soils. So basically the whole process and the fungus within the soil unlocks the nutrients for the grapes, for the vine. So we're looking at healthier vines. So if we're planting inter row, we're planting ground covers, prostrate, native Australian ground covers, and under vines we're looking to compost.
So this goes hand in hand with what you're doing with your grant here.
Absolutely. Yes, it does. We're working together to help build the health of the vines here in the Granite Belt.
Oh, fantastic. It sounds like a great partnership on that. We can't let you go without mentioning the fact that, 5 months ago you just had yourself a baby?
Oh, I did, yes. She's I can't hear her, so Daddy's looking after her very well right now. She's baby number 4. So in amongst all this work I do, I have 4 children to look after. So pretty much I feed them as much organic food as possible and get them out in the sunshine. And they don't sit in front of a computer or TV, or they play board games and run around. That's the style of children I'm trying to grow, and we're in a great place here on the Granite Belt for that.
Well, congratulations on the baby. Before I let you go, I'm going to do something here, and Kathy's not prepared for this, but I know, and people out there listening, you're going to have to put up with this for a minute. My wife, Kathy, has been Facebooking back and forth with Sonia for a long time here. They've been sending notes and messages back to each other for I don't know how long. And I'm going to, take this opportunity to let you both say hi to each other person to person here just for a second. So since you've never had a chance to talk to her, I'm going to let you do that for a second.
Hello, Sonia.
G'day, Kathy. Great to finally meet you.
You know, I was just saying the other day that I cannot remember how we hooked up together in the first place.
Oh, it was many, many years ago.
I know, and I can't remember how it all began.
Oh, I do. It involved, at the time, it involved a boyfriend I had from Florida, from Tampa.
Oh, okay.
He was an Australian citizen at that stage, but he grew up in Tampa.
All right. I just could not remember. Well, congratulations on your baby.
Thank you. He challenged me one day and asked me if I knew of any wineries in Florida. And I said, no. That's such a low-lying, swampy area. I can't imagine any great things growing there at any wineries. So I made the connection with you then.
Oh, well, I'm glad now that you remember, because I did not.
Yes, I remember it vividly.
Oh, I just wanted to say congratulations on your baby. She is gorgeous.
Thank you. I hope you're not sick of all the photos on Facebook. I can't help myself.
Oh, I love them.
Good.
And thank you for being on your show.
Thanks, Kathy. It's been a pleasure.
And Merry Christmas to you.
Yes, it's sneaking up rather fast, isn't it?
It sure is. Well, I'm going
to
turn
you
back over.
All.
Merry Christmas. I'm going to turn you back over to Ron.
Thank you.
Well, I know she wasn't ready for that, but since you guys have been corresponding back and forth, and she kept for, you know, I don't know how many times she says, oh, you should see this that Sonia sent. This is great. And, you know, and she'd show it to me and all that stuff. That's been going on for so long, and I know you two have been in contact, and I thought it might be a good opportunity to let you give a quick hey to each other, a big, big shout-out. So, all of you listeners out there, sorry if that was boring, but hey, it's my program.
I love it.
Mike, do you have any questions?
By the way, congratulations, Kathy, for getting on the show. That's wonderful.
She never goes on the show.
She's not on there. Now we have someone to take your place when if you get sick or you know whatever. So
there you
go. Ron. I've been reading about these grapevine pests that are in Australia. There you have mites. You have of course what we're affected by that we hear about all the time is phylloxera. You have just all kinds of insects and everything that are affecting it. As far as what I'm reading here, are you affected by the insects to that degree where you're at, or are you kind of away from that effect?
We're almost quarantined from a lot of things. If we purchase rootstock or vines from some of the large nurseries down south, they have to go through a quarantine process before we receive them. We're situated in such a distance apart that we're able to maintain those quarantine lines, fortunately.
No.
I'm
just reading about all these.
We aren't affected like the rest of the country or the rest of the world.
Wow. Okay. I'm reading a lot. That's a good thing. Because some of these look they're really bad. The things that I'm reading about them, there's so many varieties and what they attack and everything. It's amazing. And I was just wondering if your location was affected by that. Okay, cool. I'm also reading
very bad
about
weather conditions.
Mm-hmm. The region? I got part of that.
Sorry if I lost you.
Okay, yeah, I think I missed something on there. Exporting wines, there's a site, wineaustralia.com, that has information on exporting wine, and there are regulations, it looks like, that if shipments are over 100 liters, you have to get export approval. Now, does this go through government channels? Is this like an organization that requires this, or what is the export there?
The organization I was speaking about earlier, which is just going through a transition, it's the Australian Wine and Brandy Corporation. So to basically to send wine anywhere in around Australia, I've had people request that we send a few bottles to them elsewhere, but you have to go through this large process where you submit samples to them and you're labelled to them, and you must fulfil labelling requirements for the country that the wine is to enter into. So it's a hefty process. I know that there are here in Queensland, we have in the past, and it may happen now, sent bulk wine to China. We have sent wine to Canada. We send wine to Korea. But most people find those export markets themselves over many years of conversation with the buyers from the other countries. So, yes, it is full of regulation.
Yeah, but that's through the organization and not the government specifically then. Is that correct? Not, it's not a government. You said it was funded.
It is. It's the Australian Wine and Brandy Corporation. They're a government.
Okay, gotcha. Wow.
The government industry regulators. So, yes, they do.
Okay.
Yes. Huh. They absolutely oversee everything.
Okay.
Hey, don't get us started.
No.
No. There's a...
I'm trying to change the subject now.
Do you have to get like labels approved down there? The wineries have to get labels approved to the government and all that?
We have labeling requirements. Each time we have a label made, do we need approval? If you're going to export, yes. Not generally.
Oh, really?
Although,
no.
Well, you are. You don't have to submit them for approval. It's self-regulated, I guess, in a sense.
I mentioned the TTB, the Trade and Tobacco Bureau. We are required to have all labels approved before we can use them. It's a formality, but it's still something that we have to get done. I was just wondering if you had the same rules down there.
Oh, goodness. I would think that would be an absolute logistical nightmare, trying to get them approved before the print run, before the bottling.
It is. Back in the old days, before computers and the internet, we had to mail them in, and they, you know, obviously had backlogs and stuff like that. And now it's through the internet, and so we are able to submit it electronically, and then they approve it. And the approval time is usually within weeks, sometimes within a month. Used to be within like 6 months it took them. So. Yes, it is. It's quite a difference.
I've been reading a few reports on the health benefits of wine recently, and they're suggesting now to drink 2 glasses a day for longevity. I agree with that.
Yeah, I'm more than thrilled to know that they're starting to recognize it again. For years, they've been shutting it down, and they're starting to realize that the benefits and everything of wine.
Yeah, the resveratrol and the antioxidants in red wine in particular have good health benefits.
Yeah. I've had a lot of people come into the winery and say, can I do anything about my purple teeth? And I say, I'll brush them.
Exactly.
when you're drinking red wine, I'm afraid that's what's going to happen. I mean, some people complain about it happening to them. And it's really odd that, But I guess certain wines will cause problems and stuff. So
exactly. We've got a big movement here in Australia. I don't know if it's happening in America, but a lot of people are making what they class as natural wines. Natural wines often have less additives, wild ferment, and also can be unfiltered. So if you're drinking an unfiltered red wine, your teeth are going to be black the first sip, basically. This happens in the winery when you're doing any type of lab analysis, and you might be tasting 30 wines in a day, and half of them at least. I've been pulled over by the police on the way home from work. in the winery with the blackest teeth in the world, and generally they're very, very white. So I've been questioned about what I've been doing, and it's quite hard to explain to non-wine drinkers what's going on.
Anything else you have, Mike, for Sonia?
No, I'm good. That was very interesting. I'm glad we got you on the program. That was awesome.
Yes,
thanks,
I am,
Mike.
Too.
Do you have a website, or, I mean, is there, I'm sorry, what? I missed something.
I said, I'm glad we got that connection sorted.
Yes.
Yes.
I was like, how am I going to call Australia. But, yeah, that was good. Do you have a website or any affiliation type of websites, that people can contact for more or go to for more information on what you're doing?
They can contact the Queensland Wine website. Otherwise, I'm on Facebook, and my Facebook page is called Vine Time, V-I-N-E-T-I-M-E.
Okay.
Vine Time on Facebook, okay.
And yeah. Everybody's going there real quick.
Yeah, everybody's starting to punch it in now. You're going to get yourself a whole bunch of people on Facebook.
I'll make sure I make a reference to this radio station on Vine Time today so that people know that they're on the right Facebook page.
Okay. Yeah. No, we're good. We're good to close.
Sonia, thank you very much for joining us today. Well, this morning for you, this evening for us. And like I always say, I know the world's not going to end today because it's already tomorrow in Australia. So
exactly.
So thank you for joining us. Best of luck to you and your adventures trying to find good ground cover and what you're doing there. And I'm on Facebook with you, so I'm sure you and I will still be communicating, if not always in, you know, honest, serious ways, but always in fun ways on Facebook. And look at maybe sometime in the future as you start developing stuff. Send me a note, and we'll get you on, let you talk about what you've developed.
Yes, I wish I could send you some wine, but it's just impossible at the moment.
Yeah, I wish I could send you some of my wine. I really wish I could, but it's just impossible to do that, too, you know.
You can always escort it on a plane.
There you go.
That would be good.
I like that thought. I would love to go to Australia anyway. Yeah, we jump on the All About Wine jet and head down there.
That's the one. Come and pick up a few cases on your way.
There you go. That sounds great. And Queensland wine. I'm definitely going to start looking for Queensland wine, though. That sounds interesting. So
I don't even know where I can point you in the right direction. I'll have a look and do a bit of research and see if there is any exported to anywhere near you, and let you know.
Okay, sounds great. I will look forward to that. And again, thank you very much for taking your time out today. And you got to go back and relieve your husband now and take over for the baby.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Have yourself a very Merry Christmas.
You too.
And thank you very much. Now. Bye.
All right. There we go.
That was fun.
Yeah, very cool. Enjoyed that. That was a lot easier to call her than I thought it was.
Yeah, I noticed that. Just boom, boom, boom. I mean, we've had local calls, you know, people in Texas and things like that that weren't that easy. So
yeah, but very cool. Yeah, thank you very much. And it's great to have her on the show and learn quite a bit about Australia and its wine industry. So that's really
cool.
Yeah.
These are things you don't find when you look it up and start talking about it. These are things that only the people in the business know about it. So it was interesting.
Yep. I looked up their weather, and like in Brisbane. Oh, wow. The wine people did one of our tweets again. Thank you very much. Wine wankers. There you go on Twitter.
Wine wankers.
That's interesting. Yep. Thank you very much for retweeting one of our tweets out there. Thank you. And I forgot where I was going. Australia, blah, 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 that area. I have no idea. So
Brisbane, minimum temperature.
Yes.
It shows here, Brisbane, the minimum temperature at 60.3 degrees Fahrenheit, 15.7 Celsius. Maximum 77.9 or 78 degrees. Wow. Rather cool in Brisbane. But then again, like she said, they are, an hour and a half outside of Brisbane at a higher elevation.
Yeah.
So that's going to give them much cooler temperatures and much warmer temperatures in the summer. So,
Yeah, I don't know where my weather thing came from, but I saw like the highs were this week in the 90s, I think.
Yeah.
Did like a five day forecast. I'm thinking, wow, it's definitely summer over there, because we're sitting at 57 here. So wow, big difference. But of course, they're in the southern hemisphere, and that's what happens. So
So yeah, but that was interesting. It's Queensland mm-hmm. wines. I'm definitely going to have to start looking for it. I haven't really, you know, and like I was telling her, and you know, it's sad, but we don't look for any distinct regions from Australia. All we basically look for is Australia.
Right.
You know, and
so
I think, if nothing else, I know I'm going to be more aware of regions now and start looking and seeing where they're from. See if I can't see anything from Queensland.
Yeah,
so.
that was interesting. Let's see. Okay, we have a few minutes. We're going to be back on the 26th, December.
December 26th, yeah. Week from today.
The next show for, all about wine, day after Christmas, if you celebrate that. Day after the holiday that everybody else would celebrate. If you don't celebrate it, however you put
Kwanzaa.
That. But,
we'll be having our next show on Kwanzaa.
All right.
Kwanzaa begins on the 26th, and all this Yule, Kwanzaa, all that's right now. Yule is this Saturday. No, Yule.
Okay.
That's the Earth worshippers and pagan, Wiccan, all those celebrate Yule. So let them, we got that holiday coming up for them. And then Christmas on Wednesday, and Kwanzaa begins on Thursday. And so it's the holiday season here. So.
Yeah. Very cool. Yeah. So we'll be back on the first day or the day of Kwanzaa. There you go. December 26th at 7 p.m. 7 p.m. Eastern time. And stay tuned to Facebook, of course. We'll give you that information during the ending, and also on Twitter, and it's also on the website when you post on Facebook too. So all type of thing.
Ever tell you Reed's Livery Winery? We talked to them. They're in Kentucky. Reed's mm-hmm. Livery Winery. He came by and visited me.
Oh wow.
This is, and I knew I keep forgetting to mention on there. This is two or three weeks ago. He called me. He's in town visiting his son, and his son's stationed down at MacDill Air Force Base. And he called and asked if I was going to be at the winery, and I said yes. And he came out and he tasted my wines and bought a couple of bottles. He brought a bottle of his that he and I shared while he was there. And talked, and it really, really was a great conversation. But he was one of them that we interviewed on the program in the past, and he was down in the area and made an effort to come out. So I don't think I've mentioned this, but, I'm glad he did come out. Rex, thanks for stopping by. And anyone else out there who we've interviewed, if you're in the area, by all means, pop in. I'd love to talk with you. So, but
cool.
Yeah, I didn't think I mentioned that before, and it just dawned on me for some reason. So,
all right.
But go on.
Very cool. We will go ahead and end the show for tonight, and thank you all for tuning in and for our callers. Thank you for dialing us up tonight, and we will see you all next week right here on All About Wine on Blog Talk Radio at 7 p.m. on December 26th. You all have a good holiday, and if you're already on it, have a great vacation, like some people are. And
my kids, by the way.
So, and Merry Christmas if you celebrate that on the 25th or 24th, whenever you celebrate it. So, some people do it Christmas Eve. You never know. Thank y'all again, and have a happy, safe holiday, and we'll see you on the day after on the 26th. So. Thanks a lot. And we'll play the outro right now. Yep, thank you.
This concludes tonight's broadcast of All About Wine with your host, Ron. Vice President and General Manager of Florida States Winery. Florida States Winery is located at 25241 State Road 52 in Land O'Lakes, Florida, 4 miles west of Interstate 75 or east of US 19 and US 41. For more information on Florida States Winery, visit the website at floridaestateswines.com or call area code 813-996-2113. The email address is corp@floon.com. That's C-O-R-P at F-L-E-W-N.com. For more information on All About Wine and future shows, please like us on Facebook at facebook.com/allaboutwinebtr or visit our website at allaboutwinebtr.com. Archived shows are available as a free download on iTunes and on our show page at blogtalkradio.com/allaboutwine. Follow the Armed Forces Radio Network on Twitter at the AFRN and on Facebook at facebook.com/Armed Forces Radio. Thank you for listening to this show. We'll see you next time on All About Wine.